Theresa May has got just 4 weeks to come up with a new solution to the Irish border issue after EU leaders rejected her Chequers Brexit plan. At a meeting in Salzburg, the European Council President Donald Tusk claimed it risks undermining the single market. Well, it's not necessarily something that we haven't heard before. To discuss what happens next, I'm joined from Brussels by Brexit expert Simon Taylor. Simon, very good morning to you. Good to have you back on the programme. What is it, and I realise that we've spoken about this before, but what is it about the Chequers plan that the EU just can't stomach?
I think there are two aspects. One, staying in the single market for goods, but not for services. The EU doesn't like splitting those two things off. It argues that in actual fact, lots of goods are provided with services, maintenance contracts. If you buy, large industrial plant, or if you buy, complicated engineering equipment, it will come with sale after sales support. But also that, wanting to be in the single market for goods, but still not granting free movement of labour is cherry picking of the worst kind. So that's really what they think is undermining the single market.
Now, they have been fairly consistent in this from, to be honest, the referendum day in terms of that splitting of the four freedoms of the single market. Theresa May looked furious when she was leaving that press conference yesterday. I mean, do you feel that she did think that this was going to go a different way?
Yes, I think she was expecting more positive signals from the leaders, because this was, of course, the first time that she was able to address Angela Merkel, Emmanuel Macron, directly, because until now negotiations have been handled only by Michel Barnier. And she seemed to think that there was a sort of softening and that there would be warm words about Chequers. Now, what I understand is what undermined all that, because I think there was a willingness to make some positive noises. But in her conversation with the Irish Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar, she said that the UK wouldn't be able to come up with a new deal on Ireland in time for the October summit, which is the next big landmark. Mm. I think positions hardened. And one thing that was very clearly going to come out of Salzburg was that the need for a workable backstop on Ireland. And I think there was a feeling that the Brits were again playing for time, and that simply wasn't acceptable. And that's what led to the hardening of the position yesterday. But she was, you're right, I mean, in the press conference, she was visibly shocked and shaken, I think, by the way things had turned out.
Oddly, this now puts her in, against an alliance of the hardliners in her own party who favour the hardest of Brexits, those who favour even softer or even remaining in the EU, and also the EU itself, this kind of unholy alliance. What options does she actually have left?
Well, it's very difficult to see which way she could move. I mean, and if she'd got positive noises out of Salzburg, it might have made it easier to go to party conference and sort of prepare the ground for more concessions. Mm. I think there are two. Well, the hardline Brexiteers will say, we told you so, so let's go, Chris Groening, the Transport Secretary, said that there could be a no deal Brexit. I think that's still extremely unlikely. But the European Research Group led by Jacob Rees-Mogg, they've advocated a Canada style free trade deal. The problem is that doesn't deal with Ireland, because that would still require a border with Northern Ireland,
and would also have massive implications for our trade, because wouldn't be the same level of frictionless trade with the EU.
Absolutely. I think the Norway option is another way to go, so that the UK would be fully in the single market. It would have to have a customs union or be in a customs union, which Norway doesn't. But that's sort of an available solution. But not one that the Conservative cabinets could accept at the moment, because it would be the ultimate rule taker. I mean, you would have. The point of checkers is that it does, in theory, allow the UK to negotiate new trade deals, particularly on ones that are heavy on services. Well, the Norway option doesn't do that. So, in a way, that's the worst case scenario, because you. So then we come to bigger political options. I mean, are there? Does it point the way to new elections if these different, as you say, these different positions are completely irreconcilable? And I would think it's certainly increased the likelihood of new elections.
Yeah, I mean, this is the knots that she's going to have to unwind, isn't it? That she doesn't necessarily have the votes in Parliament for any of the available deals. She has continually said there isn't a political mandate for that softer Norway-style Brexit. She doesn't want a second referendum. She doesn't want a general election. There's only 6 months until the March deadline left. You know, that isn't a huge amount of time to even have an election or a referendum. You know, it feels as though something is going to have to give somewhere.
Well, I suppose the other option again is to, as we believe Philip Hammond has suggested, delaying Brexit Day itself to buy a bit more time. But that requires, the acceptance of the EU 27. So, frankly, all the options are very difficult to move ahead with, and it's very difficult to see which way it goes. I wouldn't say another general election is the easy option, but maybe that's just the only way to break the logjam at this stage.
Simon, pleasure to speak to you. You heard it here first, a second snap election potentially on the cards if Brexit can't be sorted. It is 18 minutes past six here on The Business Breakfast. Your traffic and travel is next.